Again, in your bulletins, you will have the handout for today's service for the notes, and then the ordination, which is to follow. And I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. For some of you, this may be the first time that you have ever attended an ordination service. So right from the very beginning, I want to say a few words in regards to what an ordination is and what it is not. An ordination is, first of all, not the bestowing of some special power upon those who are being ordained. There are some who believe in what is known as apostolic succession, and by that you can rise through the ranks, if you will, and you can become a deacon and then maybe a pastor. And in England we had vicars and prelates and bishops and cardinals. Well, the Bible doesn't know anything about those. The Bible speaks of two offices, elder or pastor. Another word for pastor or elder is an overseer or a bishop. It simply refers to a different part or an aspect of the work that I do as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there are those who are deacons. Deacons are servants of the church, just as a pastor is. They just fulfill a completely different role. In fact, they, I believe, Scripture shows that they are due the same respect that a pastor is. The difference is that their main responsibility is not teaching or preaching. They should have the ability to be able to do that should they be called upon. And of course, all of our deacons here do teach in various aspects. And Brother Mickey has been a pastor himself for a number of years. And now Brother Sam has also shown that he has the ability to be able to teach downstairs in the Sunday school classrooms. When we lay hands on somebody, that is actually the ordination part of the service, which will come here in just a little while. But I want you to look at, do something for me. I want everybody to raise your hands about this level here. Both hands. You got two hands? I want you to raise your hands, all right? Now I want you to turn your hands around and I want you to look at them. What are they holding? You're, say it a little louder. Nothing. There's nothing in them. When we stand and we ordain here in the Baptist Church, we bring nothing to the table. These hands do not provide anything special, or the deacon's hands, when we lay hands on Brother Sam, we're not making him something special. We are simply helping to encourage him in the role that God has placed in front of him at this time. And the same is true for every one of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when we come before him, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That's the reason for being a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or somebody who helps clean up around the auditorium or cleans the bathroom or whatever it is. We are all, in whatever aspect, it can be giving. The giving that was here this morning, or those who collect the offering. All of those things are ministries, as Paul told the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14, that each one of us have gifts differing one from another. I shared this with you when you called me to be your pastor, and I shared with you that I am not above the pew, that I am simply a man. Just as you are individuals, when we come before the throne of grace, we believe, as we are going to look at, Lord willing, in a few weeks, as we go through a new Sunday school lesson in the downstairs adult Sunday school class, we're going to be going through biblical distinctives of Baptists. And one of the biblical distinctives is priesthood of all believers. That simply means that you and I do not need somebody to go before the throne of God. We can go ourselves. That means whether we're at home or whether we're driving in the car, some of you may need it while you're driving in the car, But as you're driving in the car, you're going shopping or whatever it may be, you're doing these things and you have the opportunity to say, Lord, help me through whatever it is that I'm going through at this time. Help me. You can even, I don't know if any of you have ever done this or maybe even thought about it. When you're going down the grocery aisle, how about asking the Lord, Lord, help me to be a good steward and buy the things that you want me to buy. Ooh. Yeah, I know. But everything that we do, how about this one? When we're driving down the road, Lord, help me to be able to keep it at the legal speed limit and not get upset at the people in front of me. Shh. Here's what I'm trying to point out, though. Every one of us as priests before the Lord Jesus Christ, we can all come before him. And sometimes we forget that Paul says, always be in an attitude of prayer. That means that all of the events that I've already talked about should be things that we're already talking with the Lord about. And helping us to be able to get through each one of those daily items. So what exactly is an ordination? An ordination is following the biblical pattern, particularly as found in the book of Acts, chapter 6. And in just about every one of Paul's epistles, Paul writes to both the pastors or the elders and deacons in each local assembly. Almost overnight, if you can imagine with me, the early New Testament church had blossomed from a small handful of frightened disciples into a powerhouse that was turning the world upside down. Acts chapter 17, verse 6, and when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, and this was in Ephesus, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. Can you imagine going on our daily duties and whatever? I mean, think about what has just happened up in Alberta, Canada. We've been praying for Pastor James Coates, and the government has come in and they actually took away his church. And there were actually two other churches that were boarded up this last week in Canada in the same province. But there are people all over the world that now know about Alberta, Canada, if they didn't before. And there are a lot of people who are hearing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ through the ministry of Pastor James Coates. And as he has stated himself, when they met for the first time outside of their building, which was paid for, he said, "We are the church." Now, this is important because a pastor's responsibility is to be able to help you, to be able to prepare for that which is to come, for future events. And we know that persecution comes, and it comes all around the world. And we are only fooling ourselves if we think that we are exempt here in America. Some of you have been overseas. You have been in foreign countries, and you know what it's like. You know the persecution that is there, even sometimes from people who are religious. But one day, if persecution should come like that to our country, here to Wyoming, and we were to find ourselves locked out of our building one day, I want to encourage you now that maybe one day you will remember this, and that is, don't despair. Don't despair, because we are the church of the living God, not this building. These deacons, these are deacons of the living God. They are not Mark's deacons. They are deacons that just happen to serve here at Yellowstone Baptist Church. And this is exactly what we find throughout the New Testament. Through all of the thrilling highs of events like Pentecost, if you can imagine, there's 120 of them in the upper room. They're cowering before the people who are out there. They're afraid of what might happen. And then in one day, the Holy Spirit comes down in power, fills them to the absolute max and to overflowing. And these 120 people are standing outside in Jerusalem. And Peter preaches a message that is heard, how we don't know. But Peter preaches a message that is heard in 17 different languages. That, I believe, is biblical tongues. I don't believe that Peter actually spoke in all of those tongues. Somewhere between Peter's lips and their ears, they heard the word of God being proclaimed. And that day alone, there were 3,000 people that were added to the church, to one single body of believers. I don't know what we would do with that many. We would definitely need more deacons. But the problem was that there were some people who were being ignored. It wasn't that preaching wasn't important, nor all that was taking place. I mean, can you imagine 3,000 people? That's a lot of baptisms. The problem was that the ministry of the word and prayer was being ignored to some degree in order to handle all the affairs of the church. This was the reason for deacons being added. And the lesson for the early church was that they needed men and women who could handle the aspects of ministry that met some of the needs that could not be helped from the pulpit. The biblical emphasis on the leadership of the church is not on the organization, but it is on the leader's purity and spiritual depth. This is why the Bible says that we are not to lay hands suddenly on anybody. We are to be able to examine their lives, and it has now been 3 months now, I think, since the church voted to be able to accept, unanimously accept Brother Sam as our newest deacon. But I can tell you that everybody that voted here, our responsibility before God was to make sure that we had been studying his life, that we had been studying the life of his family, so that we knew that he was prepared to be able to be in this particular role. In Acts 6, we find the apostles and those who assisted them. These apostles would have filled in the early days the role of pastors in the church. And then, of course, in the epistles, as we said, the pastors and deacons who assisted them. And it is important to note, though, that in both cases, spiritual qualifications of the leaders and workers were emphasized. In the early church, a plurality of godly men led the church. So the first point on your notes this morning is stirring up the dust. The Greek term actually describes a variety of activities, but the root idea is to supply the need of another person. This is the word that is being used in 1 Timothy chapter 3 when it speaks of one who is a diakonos, or a deacon, a servant. The term was used in classical Greek to describe the activity of a faithful servant who stirred up the dust in cleaning the house to meet the need for his master. In other words, one who did not literally stir up the dust while they were sweeping the house was viewed as not being thorough or faithful in their cleaning. Number two. There are a couple of different kinds of service that are even seen in the New Testament. We find, for example, in the book of John, chapter 2, at the wedding of Cana, verses 5 through 9. For the sake of time, we won't be turning to there, but you are welcome to write those down, or any of the verses that we have. But in this account, the word diakonos is in the plural, and it is used twice referencing those who serve the tables. Now, what does this mean? Very simply, that we cannot expect to be spiritual leaders and to be able to lead everybody if we're not also willing to do some of the more menial tasks. This is what the early New Testament church had to learn. In other words, deacons weren't just there for spiritual service. They were also there for the purpose of being able to, if necessary, pick up chairs, set out tables, do Sunday school class, whatever it was. As we said, when we come before God, we have nothing in our hands, and we come before him and we say, Lord, fill my hands with the service that you want me to fill. And then help me to be able to do it to the best of my ability. Did you catch the words of the hymn or the song that was sung, the special music? Help me to have a servant's heart. Use me, Lord. Take me. Secondly, spiritual service. Spiritual service is just as important as the general service. And here we find a believer's role as a servant. As I spoke earlier, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14, but particularly verse 5 in chapter 12 speaks of various diakonia. In other words, all believers are to be involved in service. Now, this is important because there are young people here and there are older people here. There are some who are in between. Everybody can be involved to some degree or another. It just depends on what strength the Lord gives you, what ability that He gives you, but we are all responsible for what God has for us. And to be able to do so, or to be able to do so in the service of the Lord, it's just like when the Apostle Paul is speaking in Ephesians chapter 5, and he is speaking about the relationship between the husband and the wife. And he says the husband is to love his wife as what? Christ loved the church. It's a pretty tall order, isn't it, Brother Sam? I mean, there are times, and this is not to demean any of the husbands here, but I can tell you that it is not easy for us to be able to even love our wives some days, and yet, just as it is for them to love us some days, but the reality is this. If we are going to be a true Christ follower, we have to be growing to that ideal, which is to be able to love our wife as Christ loved the church. He loved the church so much that he was willing to give himself for her. And of course, we find the next part is that wives are to be in submission unto their husbands. And of course, the husbands all say, yeah, go get them. But what we forget is it is as unto the Lord. That means that our service, whether we are married or whether we are single, whether we have children or grandchildren, or we have parents or grandparents, our service to the Lord is to be done in such a way that we are doing it to Him and for Him, regardless of whether we receive any recognition. That's not easy. Think about it. All our lives in the world, we are taught something completely different to that principle. In fact, now it's come to the point, I understand that if you're in school, that everybody gets a trophy these days. Whether it's a participation trophy or whether it's a ribbon or whatever it may be, everybody gets something because we don't want people to think too little of themselves. And yet, the Bible says that we often, as believers, we actually think too much of ourselves. And as true believers, we need to show the world that we are different. We need to be able to show the world that we are not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but to think soberly, to think righteously, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We believe here that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return one day, and we believe that it may be soon. That means that we have a responsibility to make sure that we are praying and watching and working for that day. Thirdly, we have already covered the qualifications of a deacon. If you were not here for that service, we did this on a Sunday evening. We can provide you with a link to be able to get there. But I want to cover just a couple of points here. The qualifications to be a deacon, first of all, are personal character, or his personal character. His dignity. 1 Timothy chapter 3 says that he is to be dignified, he is to be serious-minded, he is to be worthy of respect and not treat serious matters lightly. Now, I would like you to understand something here, maybe because maybe you've never seen it done this way before, or maybe you're just not familiar with how it should be done in church, but when you bring a need or a concern to the deacons or to myself, that's exactly where it stays. You can ask these men here. There are a lot of things that we discuss when we have our meetings, and it is not broadcast even to our wives. There are some matters of church business that we simply have to pray over and ask the Lord to be able to provide a solution to. That's important. So if somebody comes to the church and they share something, or there's something that is not a public matter, the last thing we want to do is to be able to spread it, because all we're doing then is actually spreading gossip. Each of these areas that we have, or that we look at this morning, are areas that we have also examined in the life of Brother Sam. Not to be double-tongued. A person who is double-tongued in the Bible, and the Greek word there is to speak twice. In other words, to say one thing to one person and say something to somebody else. Somebody who is not addicted to much wine. Somebody who is not fond of sordid gain or not fond of using financial gain in order to be able to gain a corrupt following. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 9 says, desire for financial gain corrupts a person. Secondly, not just his personal character, but spiritual character. A deacon is supposed to hold to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. This was found in verse 9 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. This means they must have convictions based on the knowledge of true biblical doctrine. They must hold to the faith and apply to the truth of the word to the practical dimensions of life. You know, one of the encouragements that I have with Brother Sam and Sister Blanca is this. Do you remember when their kids have come up here and been able to recite scripture? They don't learn that scripture. That scripture is not memorized by simply looking at it on the way to church on Sunday morning before they're supposed to say it. It takes a lot of time and effort to be able to do that. When they bring their children to service and they're here for the Sunday school and they're here for the Sunday morning service, they are bringing them because it is important to be able to hold to the faith. We need to be able to show our children, to be able to show our grandchildren, to be able to show our parents or our grandparents or our husbands or wives if they're not believers, and show them what Jesus Christ means to us. And may I encourage you, if you don't spend time talking about things of the Lord in your home, we have 168 hours in the week. You will find it very, very difficult, especially as your children are grown, such as three of ours are at this time. Unless the Holy Spirit gets a hold of their heart and changes them, you will not be able to do it on their behalf. In fact, the reason why I believe, and we are thankful to the Lord for this, but the reason that our boys are in church, and our son also in Lubbock, Texas, who lives down there, he also is in church, and he's taken our grandson to church. And it's not because it makes him super special or because his dad is a pastor. It's because he realizes that apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, he is going to struggle. Out of 168 hours in a week, how much time are we given to God? A deacon has to be tested. They have to be proven faithful in serving the Lord, 1 Timothy 3:10. They have to be morally pure in every way. In other words, they are to be a one-woman man. They are to be focused. And as Brother Sam has shared with you himself and standing up here with tears in his eyes, and him and Sister Blanca gave their testimonies a couple of months ago now or so, and when they stood here and they shared, only the Lord could bring them through what they have gone through. To be able to walk through life together, to hold each other's hands and realize that if it wasn't for God, they probably wouldn't be where they're at right now today. You see, if we think that we can go through life apart from Jesus Christ, we are mistaken. Fourthly, a deacon is one who leads his family well. Verse 12 of 1 Timothy 3. The implication is of one who is a good manager. How do they manage their finances? How do they manage their service to the Lord? How do they manage their family? How do they manage their work environment? All of these things are vital. This is what we find in Acts chapter 6 as the apostles have sat down with the church and they have said, we want to make sure that you are bringing people to the table who you know are prepared to serve. In fact, we speak of these seven men, and if you look in verse 5, these men who are of good report, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, and we will appoint them to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Stephen is actually mentioned here. And he's actually mentioned twice. If you've never seen this before, in verse 7, can't read with these glasses today. Verse 5, I apologize. The saying pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, and the Holy Spirit. Go down to verse 8. And Stephen, same man, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. How do you think that he got this grace, this power? Depending on his own strength? Nope. Depending on the strength of the Lord to be able to get him there, day by day, and with each passing moment, as the hymn says, strength I find to meet my trials here. We talked about it on Friday night in our Zoom class, and we're looking at the attributes of God, and one of the people who were on there shared or expressed a concern that they had and that they were struggling with. And as we went over that, you could sense this individual's heartache and her and the passion in her heart and the concern that she had because of the way things were going in life. And as I listened, as we all listened, everybody who was on the class, I had to ask her because she was concerned about what would take place in the future. And so I used a little illustration. I said, are you concerned about what you're going to eat or what groceries you're going to buy for February the 15th, 2022? She says, well, no, kind of a strange question. And I says, well, why not? And the exact words were, because I know that God will provide. I said, so what's the difference between February the 15th, 2022 and today? You see, a lot of times we as believers, a lot of times we come and maybe we'll come and we'll pray at the altar, or we'll pray in the comfort of our chairs, or we'll pray when we're at home, or we'll pray downstairs in the prayer meeting. And we'll say, Lord, and we pour out our hearts before him. And Lord, help me with this and help me with that. And I want to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when we get done, we pick up all of our burdens back up and we sling it over our shoulder and we say, thank you, Lord, for listening. I'm out of here now. God wants to be the person that we come to him, as 1 Peter 5:7 says. And this is my encouragement to you, Brother Sam, and to Sister Blanca. When things are rough and maybe you're having a rough week with your medical, with the medical problems that you're having, we need to be able to know the Word of God enough. We need to be able to trust God enough that we can follow 1 Peter 5:7 that says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Everybody look over at Brother Sam. I'm going to put him on the spot for just a moment. Do the same thing that my dad did when he preached my induction service here. If you're trusting Brother Sam to be perfect, I can tell you now that he's going to let you down. If you're trusting him in any way to be able to get through your spiritual life by watching him, you've got your eyes on the wrong person. Your eyes need to be on Jesus Christ. He alone is the author and finisher of our faith. Brother Sam is a servant. I am a servant. Brother Diego is a servant. Brother Mickey is a servant. Last verses this morning, turn to Matthew with me, please. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. We're going to begin reading at verse 26. To give you a little bit of context, James and John, their mother, they have put their mother up to coming to talk to Jesus and saying, Lord, when you get into your kingdom, they thought it was an earthly kingdom, but can my sons, James and John, sit the one on your right hand and the other on your left? And Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking for, but are you able to drink the cup of suffering? Oh, yes, we are able. These are the same guys that abandoned Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, you indeed will. He says, but who sits where is not mine to give. It is up to the Father. And of course, the other disciples, they're not upset for Jesus correcting them. They're upset because their moms didn't come and talk to Jesus first. But Jesus called them to him, and he says in verse 26, "It shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Here is finally the portrait of a deacon. Their role is to help care for the flock. While the primary function is not teaching, they are no less spiritually qualified, honored, or respected in a church, a biblical church. They relieve those who are more skilled in teaching to be free to pray and to study and to teach. That doesn't mean that they're not also qualified to be able to teach. But here we find that the deacon's task is actually the essence of spiritual greatness. In other words, I can remember years ago, I'm going to tell on myself, my wife and I had been married not too long. We've been married almost 32 years now. This year will be 32 years. And we were in a church, and things were a lot different back then. I think we'd been married maybe a year, year and a half, something like that, when we had the bus. About a year, year and a half. And of course, being the son of a missionary and a man who had been a pastor for a number of years, the pastor actually came and talked to me, and he says, "Well, would you guys be willing to serve in the church?" And I was thinking, yes, you know, maybe a Sunday school class and, you know, something important. And he says, "Walk with me." And we walked outside, and there was this ugly, you probably remember them, ugly. I can't stress that enough. It was very ugly. Blue bus. Probably only held 20, 25 passengers. And he says, "I want you to drive that bus. And I want you to go and fill it up, and I want you to go get kids and bring them back." And I thought, why would I want to drive a bus? I mean, I thought this was going to be something important that I was going to do. And I had myself a bit of an attitude, I'll admit, because I thought I was above driving a bus. Of course, if the pastor knew that I only had sight in one eye, he probably wouldn't have let me drive the bus in the first place, because I have no depth perception. But about a month, month and a half after we started, we began to fall in love with those little kids. And we would go out every Saturday, and we would drive the bus, and we would go and visit them and give them candy, whether they came or not. We didn't bribe and never bribed anybody to come to church. And we'd go pick them up on Sunday, and sometimes they would be there and sometimes they wouldn't. And we got to see a little bit of change in some of their lives. But I remember the pastor making a comment to me. He says, "You will never be used greatly by God if you're not willing to do the little things that are unnoticed." Brother Sam, you will never, never be used greatly by God, I'll tell you now, if you are not also willing to do the grunt jobs that God calls you to do. Sometimes it might be in your own family. Sometimes it might be in the church. Sometimes it might be in your work. But you have the opportunity in every aspect of your life to point others to the Lord Jesus Christ, beginning with your first little congregation, Sister Blanca, and your three children. Because if you can't be faithful there, you'll never be faithful here. The portrait of a deacon, as we find in the New Testament, is one who faithfully supports and participates in the work of the church and shows that in every aspect of their life. That is why we have asked Brother Sam to be a deacon. Sister Ramona, would you mind going down, please, and getting Sister Pat and the children? While she's going down, I would like to have a word of prayer, and I'm going to ask Brother Sam and Sister Blanca to come up and join us. Where is Sterling? Oh, okay. Okay. Brother Mike, would you mind helping me with this, please? We're just going to slide it right back there out of the way. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, to be a servant is not easy, especially in a day and age in which the world says that we must love ourselves first. We must think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, something that is completely contrary to the pages of Scripture. As we lay hands on Brother Sam this morning and pray over him and his family, I ask that you would help us to surround him with love and prayer, encouragement. I know there are times that he has come that Sister Blanca is struggling physically, and yet he still comes. There are times when Sister Blanca comes, and she also would probably rather be at times in bed sleeping and trying to get rest for her head. And yet, Lord, you've given them a love for each other. You've given them a love for their children. You've given them a love for your word. You've given them a love for this church, for these brothers and sisters. And so just seeing them here on the services that they're able to come is oftentimes a great encouragement. I pray that you would allow them to continue to be an encouragement to us here at Yellowstone Baptist in the years to come. And each person who is here today, I pray that they would know and realize that we do pray for them. We want to encourage them in the Scriptures, that we want them to have godly marriages, that we want their children to grow up to be godly children, their grandchildren to be godly grandchildren. But Lord, again, it's not easy being a servant in a world that hates servants. Help us to serve you to the best of our ability. As we go into this next part of the service, for the actual ordination part, I pray that Brother Sam and Sister Blanca would be encouraged with what transpires, and that we would be as well in watching their lives. We ask all of these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All God's people said, amen. Brother Sam, Sister Blanca. This certificate of ordination, again, there's nothing special about this. It doesn't bestow any special gifts on him. But this certificate of ordination reads, this certifies that Samuel Figueroa had been ordained as a deacon on the 2nd of May in the year of our Lord 2021 at Yellowstone Baptist Church, signed by myself and Brother Mickey and Brother Diego. The verse at the bottom says, for they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We have gone over this commitment of deacons with each of the men here, each one of the deacons, and we want to share this with you as well this morning, because I believe that what they are doing is vitally important. There's a line for each one of us to sign after, so we'll be signing, and everybody, all the deacons, will get a copy of this. But this is what, as servants of Yellowstone Baptist Church, we commit to, myself as well as these brothers. Number one, being faithful and wise servants in the household of God. Matthew chapter 24, verse 25. Number two, we commit to following Christ's example of leadership when he said, I am among you as one who serves. Luke chapter 22, verse 27. We commit to following Paul's complete instructions to the Ephesian elders to guard ourselves and the church, to shepherd God's people, to study the word, to help the weak, and to supply our own needs through hard work. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 through 35. We commit, fourthly, to pursuing the personal standards that are set forth in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 2. We commit, fifthly, to setting an example in speech, life, love, and purity, as seen in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. We commit, sixthly, to encouraging and supporting all other pastoral staff and teaching staff with prayer, encouragement, and care. And finally, we commit to you, to doing these things as men who will one day give an account for our deeds. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. The Bible says that when the deacons were selected, the leaders of the church came together and they laid hands on them and ordained them to the ministry of the work. I've asked Brother Sam and Sister Blanca if they would kneel up here at the front, and I'm going to ask Brother Mickey and Brother Diego to come up and join us. And we are going to lay hands on them. I'd like to ask any of the deacons who would like to pray, they would be willing to do so this morning.
Of course, this morning I would like to say that this is a man who his grandmother prayed for him and his mother prayed for him. It's just like Paul would say about his son Timothy, who came from the grandmother Lois and Eunice. And that would be whatever that I could say is most important. It came from the family before him and the family before him. And this is generational. It's what you do with your children. It's your first household, the church of God. You be expected to do the same thing. Neglect the gospel of Jesus Christ to do other things, but in a positive way, doing the work that God has for you in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's for the gospel's sake that you're here and that you're doing the work that's put before us. We thank you. We want to serve, and I pray that God will use you and empower you up, in the least or the most. This body will pray for you, support you, and we will uphold you and encourage you both. We pray that if we fail you in any way, that you let us know. Likewise. We thank you this morning, Lord. We give you all the glory. We say hallelujah. God is praised today.
Father, we pray that you continue to bless them in their home. You bless them spiritually, Father, that you grow them in your likeness. You give them insight. You give them wisdom for their children. And Father, that you give them the understanding of how to help here in this church and this body of believers. And Father, we praise you. We thank you for what you're going to do in their life. Because, Father, they've already shown what they have done for their children as their. As the little ones come and quote scripture, Father, we thank you. We pray that you continue to bless them, and we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Father, we do give thanks for Brother Sam, Sister Blanca, for their children, Angelo, Andre, and Aramie. I thank you for the background from where they come and the missions, what you have brought Sister Blanca from, being down in Paraguay and saw fit to bring her to salvation and then bring her up to Texas where she met Sam, whose parents were missionaries. And we are thankful for that. We're thankful of the heritage that they can pass on now to their children. Lord, we ask again that you would be with Sister Blanca and touch her body. We know that she struggles day by day. Sometimes maybe it may feel like she just doesn't want to continue, but whatever trials and temptations you put in our way, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says that there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man, God will make a way of escape. So we ask that you would encourage them. For our brother Sam, as we lay hands on you this morning, rather, we as leaders these things, Lord, thank you for his life, for his willingness to do. You ordain him to the ministry. The word simply to be set apart. We say, we ask this because Jesus Christ is in our service. Amen. Sister Pat, if I can have you and Sister Janet come forward, please. And you guys can go ahead and be seated. A pastor who has no servant leaders to share the load with him is going to struggle greatly. And during the last year and a half almost that we have been here, we have been greatly encouraged by watching the lives of these men. Brother Mickey, as he has preached, Brother Diego, as he has taught, his encouragement and prayer, which was a great influence on our son Sterling and our two daughters in coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the things behind the scenes as well that sometimes maybe you don't see, but that we do see. Some see, and some will never know everything that these six individuals up here do on behalf of Yellowstone Baptist Church. But there's one who is keeping count, and he's keeping track. And my prayer is this morning that we would all be able to hear one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Brother Mickey and Sister Pat are going to be leaving next week. Next Sunday is their last Sunday here for a while, at least 2 or 3 weeks, I think. They're going up to Yellowstone to work, and I can tell you that we are going to miss them greatly. Sister Janet, I know that the ladies up here, you probably never hear them speak unless you talk to them. But I can tell you that it is a great encouragement, even on my part, to come in here on a Sunday morning between services and Sister Janet is playing the piano. I love coming up here and just singing some of the songs that she's playing, old hymns that I will remember from my parents and my grandparents who taught me as well. We're going to have another word of prayer. I'm going to pray for each one of the deacons here and for their wives. And we invite you to pray with us as we commit them once again to the Lord. Amen. Lord, to whom much is given, much will be required. I pray this morning specifically for Brother Mickey and Sister Pat. I ask that you would encourage their hearts as they go from here next Sunday during the time that they are gone, that you will provide Christian fellowship with others who may come into the park up there with them. They do so much here. And I pray, Lord, that you would help others to be willing to step up and take their place during the time that they are gone. Keep them safe, pave the roads ahead of them so that they would come back safely as well. We thank you, Lord, for their lives, for their encouragement to our family as well as to the family here at Yellowstone. As our newest deacon, Lord, I pray again for Sam. We don't know what the road is that lies ahead. So far, it's been very difficult for them. But they trust in your sovereignty. They trust that you make all things good. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We ask that you would order their steps rightly. Help them to continue loving their children, to love one another, and that all three of their children, that they would see the and have the privilege of seeing each one of them come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ at an early age. Encourage their hearts and help us to encourage them. And Lord, we pray for Brother Diego, Sister Janet. We love all of these folks in the Lord Jesus Christ. The littlest things sometimes, the things that we often overlook, are the things that have brought encouragement to my own heart. I am thankful for these men. I am thankful especially for Brother Diego's testimony and his prayers, the life that he leads, in that we now see the results in three of our children. These men, these ladies, our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, help them to know when things are going rough, help them to know that we are praying for them, that we will love them, that we will serve alongside them until we all get to cross over the great divide. Prayerfully, we hope to be able to hear, "Well done, you have been a good and faithful servant. Help us to serve you with grace, with mercy, and with the love for others that you have as well, being that this is your bride." We ask all of these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is worthy of our praise and our worship. And again, all God's people said, amen. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 says, "You will seek me and find me, and you seek me with all your heart." I've got one of these for each one of the deacons, because I want this to be a testimony and a reminder. This is the only way they will be able to serve faithfully here. It's by prayer. Love you, brother. Brother Diego.
Thank you.
I love you, brother. Love you, Brother Mickey. We would like to have our deacons come down here, and we'd like you to go by and just offer a word of encouragement to them this morning, and tell Brother Sam that you love him and you're going to be there with him. Amen. So if you guys can come down here. And your wives. I know they don't want to sit up there for long.